Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, again, we're so excited that you're here today. I don't know, has it started raining outside? Because you guys look dry, but I know it's supposed to rain really hard if it's not already. So thank you for braving the weather with us. Today, we're in part number 5 of a 6-part series leading us all the way up to Easter Sunday, like Dante just talked about. Guys, it's just a couple of weeks away, April 21st. And I'll tell you more about our series here in just one moment. But for our church family, I know we've got new people every single week, but for our church family, inside your worship guide, I just want you to know about this because it's coming up, that Easter Sunday's big because it's Easter. But inside your worship guide, we have one of these commitment pledge cards for Kingdom Builders Project, because not just Easter is happening on Easter Sunday, but also on that same Sunday, we have our Commitment Sunday. And it's a big deal for us. I've talked about this a lot these last several weeks, and so we're approaching that. So here's what I want to ask you to do. If you're going to participate in that offering, we're not twisting arms, it's if you're going to, please take this home with you. There's more in the lobby, and we're asking for each of these to be turned in on Sunday, April 21st. Well, why is that important? Here's why. Because we have a goal of $52,000 in pledges to come in on that day. And so if you turn this in the week after, that doesn't really help us because we need to know where we're going to be. So if you're going to be out of town, I know a lot of people will be in town, but if you're going to be out of town or something comes up, please turn this in early. It's really important. And we also have digital pledge cards on all of our Kingdom Builders pages online if you'd like to do that as well. And then once you fill this out, because it's double-sided, you can cut off the top, put it in an offering envelope on Easter Sunday, or you can fold it in half, whatever you want to do. But we're just believing God for those pledges, but also for 17,000 of that to come in on Easter Sunday. And I'm just believing. I just got faith that it's going to happen, and so we're excited about that. So back to our series on godly leadership. Specifically, we've been in the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament of the Bible. So let me give you a quick recap for those of us that are new here today, and quick shout out to everybody listening online. We got a podcast now. I don't know if you knew that, and so excited about all those things as God's extending our reach. But in part one, in Nehemiah, we talked about the burden that God placed on Nehemiah's heart to go back to his home city of Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. That was part one, week one. In part two, we talked about the vision that Nehemiah had to accomplish this rebuild for God. And we've seen throughout this series, if you've been here with us on this journey, that Nehemiah was an incredible leader. Like, he's the OG, guys. Like, way before John Maxwell and all. I mean, he was just incredible he did. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of strategy. He was well organized. And most importantly, like, sincerely mean this, most importantly, he was a man who obeyed God. That when God said do something big or God said do something small, Nehemiah, he obeyed what God asked him to do. Now, in part three, a couple weeks ago, this is probably our favorite week of this entire series. So if you're brand new, you can go back and check this on our website or the podcast. But we called that week the opposition. And this was the week that we saw that as Nehemiah tried to do a good thing, rebuild God's city, opposition and enemies, they rose up to attack Nehemiah and God's people. And here's what I told you that week and every week since, that anytime you try to do anything good, you will have opposition. I just want you to know that today. Like, if you're not just going to sit on your hands and do nothing, like, if you're going to do anything good, you will have enemies. The haters will come out to play, okay? It's just going to happen in your life. And it was in part three, the opposition, that we found our theme verses for the series and our theme verses for Kingdom Builders Project. And they're going to put them on the screen if you're here in the room. But Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 15 through 16, here's our theme for the series and Kingdom Builders. So the wall, what Nehemiah and God's people set out to do, it was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. What couldn't be done for years, they did in 52 days. It's incredible. Verse 16, when all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations, and they had a lot of enemies, they were afraid and they lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God, and that's our heart here at Christ Covenant. In part four, last week, the title was The Revival, because God didn't just want to rebuild the walls of the city, God wanted to rebuild the hearts of the people. And we saw that last week in the chapters that we covered. And again, it's what we're praying for here in Houston. That leads us to today, part number 5. So if you follow along on the YouVersion Bible app, we've got notes there if you like that, or if you've got a physical copy of God's Word with you, turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 11. We're almost at the end. It's only 13 chapters. Nehemiah chapter 11, starting in verse 1, is where we're going to be. And if you don't have a Bible with you, we'll have it on the screen if you're here in the room. You can see it. Nehemiah chapter 11, starting in verse 1. And just like this entire series and most of my messages, I'm reading out of the New International Version. Here's what God's Word says as some are still turning there. Nehemiah 11, verse 1. Now the leaders of the people settled in Jerusalem. This is the city that the walls and the gates were just rebuilt. And the rest of the people cast lots to bring one out of every 10 of them to live in Jerusalem, the holy city, while the remaining 9 were to stay in their own towns. Well, what's casting lots? It's the easiest way to know. This is one of the ways they used back then to see how God would speak to them. It's just one of the ways they used. And this is what they did. And this is how God spoke to them. Verse 2. The people commended all who volunteered to go live in Jerusalem, this restart city. These are the provincial leaders who settled in Jerusalem. Now, some Israelites, priests, Levites, temple servants, and descendants of Solomon, his servants, lived in the towns of Judah, each on their own property in the various towns, while other people from both Judah and Benjamin lived in Jerusalem. Hold your place there for just a second. Don't close your app or close your Bible, because you'll see if you read on, and you can do that later today if you like, but if you would read on through the rest of chapter 11 and also bleeding into chapter 12, that we see here another list of names of the people that came back to live again in Jerusalem. But for some time's sake, we're going to move past those names, and we're going to pick up now in chapter 12. So if you're tracking with me, we're not in chapter 11 any longer. Chapter 12, verse 27, after the listing of those names, chapter 12, verse 27, let's keep going. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, so they're throwing a party now, they're celebrating, the Levites were sought out from where they lived and were brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. Verse 28, the musicians also were brought together from the region around Jerusalem, from the villages of the Netophathites, from Beth Gilgal, and from the area of Geba and Asmaveth. Wouldn't you love to live there? Asmaveth. For the musicians had built villages for themselves around Jerusalem. Verse 30, when the priests and the Levites, this is very important, when they had purified themselves ceremonially, then they purified the people, and then they purified the gates, and then they purified the wall. Now hit pause again just one more time, okay? Because we see after this verse, after verse 30, that they have two just huge, enormous choirs that gather together, and they move around in opposite directions, meeting on one side of the walls. And again, if you want to read those details, you can. But one last time, the last section of scripture, move with me, same chapter, to verse 43. Okay? So Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 43. And on that day, they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced. I love this part, this little cliff note here. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard from far away. Like, they weren't quiet with their celebration. They were loud and people heard them. And at that time, men were appointed to be in charge of the storerooms for the contributions, the first fruits, and the tithes. That's 10%. From the fields around the towns, they were to bring into the storerooms the portions required by the law for the priests and the Levites. For Judah was pleased with the ministering priests and Levites. Verse 45, they performed the service of their God and the service of purification, as did also the musicians and the gatekeepers, according to the commands of David. Now, this is David and Goliath. That's the David we're talking about here years ago. And his son, Solomon. For long ago, in the days of David and Asaph, there had been directors for the musicians and for the songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. The last verse we'll read from this text today, verse 47. So in the days of Zerubbabel and of Nehemiah, all Israel, the whole city, contributed the daily portions for the musicians and the gatekeepers. They also set aside the portion for the other Levites, and the Levites set aside the portion for the descendants of Aaron. I'm calling this message today the after party. Y'all know the after party is way better than the party itself, and so that's what we're going to talk about today. And as our note takers are writing that down, let's pray. Lord, we love you so much, and thank you for the journey that we've been on in this long series. As it finishes next week, the week before Easter, thank you for the journey we're on as a church. God, where you're doing so many incredible things, where the rain can't stop people from coming to your house. That's just awesome. I just love it, Lord. And so we just pray today for those of us in this room and also those of us that are listening on the website or listening through the podcast. I just pray for each of us, Lord, that you would continue to do a mighty work. God, we're not here just to play patty cake like we say all the time. We're here to do business with you. We want to leave this place or end this talk, God, with you changing our lives. We need you desperately. So I pray that you would anoint me, that your anointing would be upon my words as I preach your word. And I pray that it almost feel like they're not hearing from a man, but God, you move me to the side and you just speak. I pray that even if it's not in my message, Holy Spirit, you've got free reign to etch upon their hearts whatever needs to be written upon their hearts. So God, may you do mighty work in us and through us. For the saint and the sinner, those with doubt and those with faith, I pray that you would move in all of our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to have some fun today, and God's going to do a great work. Got a few things that I hope you'll jot down if you're taking notes. Here's the first thing that I see from this biblical text, that after the wall was built at the after party, God's people, number one, made sure to celebrate the victories. To celebrate the victories. And we're really bad at this, especially here in America. I always pick on us here in America because we got issues, y'all. And so we need to celebrate the victories. Where's that from, Pastor? Verse 27 of chapter 12. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, the after party, the Levites were sought out, the priests, from where they lived and brought to Jerusalem to celebrate joyfully the dedication with songs of thanksgiving and with the music. One of the many things that I admire about Nehemiah, and there's a lot, and I've shared many of those throughout this series, but one of the many things I admire about Nehemiah is that he was extremely strategic. Like, he knew that he needed to have a plan, and not just a plan for building the walls, not just a plan for rallying the troops, not just a plan to keep them on mission. Nehemiah knew that he needed to plan the party. Like, if you read the details, and we skip some of them, in chapter 11 and 12, the party was organized. Like, they had things to do as they celebrated and they worshiped, and they took a bottle of champagne and broke it over the wall. Like, they had some celebration that needed to take place. The after party was very well planned. And this is yet again another incredible leadership example for us that are in the room, those that are listening online, that are trying to be godly leaders. I think you'd agree with me on this. We don't agree on everything, and I get that, but I think you'd agree with me on this, that it's extremely easy after something great happens for us to forget to celebrate it. Like, it is extremely easy, especially for those of us like myself that are task-driven, task-oriented. We're going to do this, and then we're going to climb that mountain, and then we're going to do that thing. It's so easy to forget to celebrate. Here's what happens. We need a miracle, and so we'll pray. Talking to believers right now, we'll pray and we'll seek God. Why? Because we have no other options. We've tried everything else. Like, we need you, God. We need you. And when God comes through, or when God sustains us through it, we so often forget to say thank you. Like, even just those two words, we forget to say thank you. Now, I know that it's not November, okay? Like, I know Thanksgiving's not rapidly approaching. Like, we're thinking about summer and sun and taking our family to the beach. Like, I get all of that. But I just think that Thanksgiving should be a part of our everyday lives as believers. Like, I just believe that. In fact, I'll prove it to you. If you look in chapter 12 alone, okay, just at chapter 12, you'll find the word Thanksgiving or thanks at least six times. In one short chapter. These are not the chapters of that book that was like a weapon that you had to read back in English class. Like, the chapters are really short in Nehemiah. In fact, we read most of those two chapters, chapter 11 and chapter 12, today. And so six times in chapter 12 alone, we see this idea of giving thanks. And we have teachers in our church. And so teachers know that you repeat things on purpose as a teacher. Because sometimes it takes three times or 300 times before people get it. And if you've been around our church these last several months, you know that I talk about this a lot. Why? Because the Bible talks about this a lot. And it's the culture we want to create here as we continue to move forward as a church, that we are always celebrating what God is doing, that we are always excited and have. I just believe this with every bone within me, that church should not be endured, it should be enjoyed. Like, I just believe that. And I grew up, this was in Dallas, okay? But I grew up, and sometimes I felt like I was going through hell just trying to get through a service. I mean, our services were long. Like really long. I shared last week they had a six-hour service. That was nothing compared to my upbringing. I'm just telling you. We had Wednesday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night. I mean, it was just all. And we had pews back then, and they made really good beds for us children growing up in services. I just believe it, that we should enjoy God, that we should enjoy coming to his house, that we don't have to make you come or no one has to drag you here. Maybe the first time, but not the second time, because you enjoy spending time with God and spending time with his people. Like, we should have a spirit of celebration amongst us. Now, let's make this practical and personal. And that's the kind of pastor I am, that I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you. And I step on toes all the time. I get that. I want to do all of that. But I also want to give you like the practical. Okay, like that's good. But like, how does that change my Monday morning world? So let's make this practical. Okay, this point, celebrating the victories. This is going to help you today. I'm going to ask you two rhetorical questions. Just answer them in your heart and mind. Okay. When was the last time that you thanked God for his goodness in your life? Now, you're in God's house, so don't lie, okay? Like, when's the last time you thanked God for his goodness in your life? Here's the second rhetorical question. When's the last time you celebrated a victory in your life? And if the answer isn't recently, it's been too long. If you can't think of it or it takes you a while, well, Pastor, you don't know what's going on. I'm just telling you, you should celebrate God and what he's doing in your life. So if you've been sober for a week or a month, thank God for being clean. If you get a raise at work, even if it's not as much as you wanted, you still got a raise and other people are losing their job, thank God for your raise. When you get an A on a paper, you know it wasn't you, okay? Like, you know, God, that was a word for somebody, yeah. Like when the weather's good, you should thank God for what he's doing. 1 Thessalonians is just a reference. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 actually tells us that it is God's will for you to be thankful. This is going to really help. It's God's will. Like, this is exact quote here, okay? I'm not making anything up. You can look it up for yourself. It's God's will for you to be thankful. So if that's true, then the opposite's true. If you are not thankful, you are not in God's will. Think about that. Something to think about this week. If you are not thankful, this is the Bible talking here, you are not in God's will. So maybe you got to change some things. Find something. In fact, 1 Thessalonians, that same verse, chapter 5, verse 18, tells us that in all things be thankful. Not for all things. You know, you get pulled over and the ticket's like $300. Well, thank you, Jesus. Like, that's not in all things. Thank you, God, that I have a car to be able to drive. Do you see what I'm talking about today? In all things. You're sick or you got a bad diagnosis. You don't thank God for your sickness. That's weird. Don't do that. You thank God that even though you are sick, he is your healer, and you believe he's going to do a healing in your life. In all circumstances, there is a silver lining. Sometimes it is razor thin, y'all. I get it. But there is a silver lining there. Here's the second point. First was they celebrated the victories. Number two, this is the after party, what took place. Just as important as the rebuild itself. Number two, they dedicated the work. Dedicate the work. This is verse 30 of chapter 12. We already read this. When the priests and the Levites had purified themselves, notice here the routine. What happens first? When they had purified themselves, the priests, then they purified the people, then they purified the gates, and then they purified the wall. If you don't know anything about the Old Testament history and the law and what they had to do, let me catch you up light speed. This was a day of cleansing and consecration under the Lord. What they were doing. It's powerful, actually, the symbolism here. They were saying publicly, as they followed what God had called them to do, they were saying publicly three things, what we see here. The first was this, that cleanse me, God, and use me for your glory. That's the first thing they were saying. Second is this, cleanse your people, God, and use us for your glory. And here's the third thing, cleanse our work, God, and use it for your glory. Do you notice the progression here? Cleanse me, cleanse us, and then cleanse our work. You see, they didn't just rebuild the walls for personal reasons, okay? It wasn't so they could just do their own thing and go see some baseball games, you know, back in their homes. Like, it wasn't for personal reasons. They rebuilt the walls to protect the city, God's city, and more importantly, the temple of God. The place where people in the Old Testament, again, catching you up light speed, would have to go to interact with God, to encounter God. You went to the temple to meet with God. In the Old Testament, way before Jesus in a manger, Christmas, in the Old Testament, that's what had to be done. And there was a priest that helped you in that process. But thank the Lord that Jesus came to this earth. He died on the cross. And now we are temples of the Holy Spirit. So no longer do you have to go to a building to encounter God. No longer do you have to have a priest with a collar. I'm offending some people. I'm sorry. To meet with God. Okay? Like, you can meet with God for yourself. Like, Jesus is available to you. And when you truly surrender your life to Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I believe in you. New creation, new birth. When that happens, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Like, instantly in you. And if you don't believe me, I'll give you another reference here. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. And so God's people, they dedicated themselves and their work to the Lord. So again, let's make it practical. I want to help somebody today. Whoever you are and whatever you are doing, you need to dedicate yourself and your work to God. Like, it doesn't matter who you are, what you're doing. Like, you need to dedicate it to God. It's important. So again, practical. You should dedicate your house to God. You should dedicate your car or cars to God. You should dedicate your talents to God, your job to God, your schoolwork to God. If you have kids, you better believe you should dedicate them to the Lord. Like, God, these aren't my kids. These are your kids, and I'm a temporary manager over them. And so help me. Like, they're yours. Like, help me in this. I love how 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 talks about this idea. The Apostle Paul, way smarter than me, he says there that whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. No matter what you do, eat, drink, something, I mean, like, for God's glory. And when you get this idea, it's a game changer. And so when you go punch in, you know, 9 to 5, you're not really working for your boss, you're working for God because it's dedicated to him. Like, when you go to school and you're trying not to fall asleep because you pulled an all-nighter the night before, and you're trying to, like, you're not really doing it for that teacher or for that grade or for that degree. You're really doing it unto the Lord for his glory. That's how God's called us to live. And so when we discipline our children, we're not even really doing it for them. We're really doing it for God. You see how it changes your mindset? It changes the way you live, that everything that I do, all that I am, it is dedicated to God. It's for his glory. We got a lot of business owners in the church. And so if you're called to run your own business, do it for the glory of God. Like, dedicate your business to him. In fact, maybe you even need to do this exercise later today or this week where you actually, like, write out a little contract, you know? Whatever words you want to use, you can do some of the things that we've been talking about and say, like, God, this, I know you gave me this idea. I know you helped fund this thing, and I need you. Like, this is yours. Maybe you need to do that for your kids. Maybe you need to have a little family. I don't know what that looks like, but you should dedicate it to God. If God's called you to be a teacher, a janitor, a construction worker, or electrical engineer, do it all for the glory of God. Got to dedicate my calling to you. We should celebrate the victories. We should dedicate the work. And now we get to the third point. Spend a little bit of time on this one. Number three, allocate the resources. So celebrate the victories, dedicate the work. And what did they do lastly? They allocated the resources. This is verse 47, the last one we read together. So in the days of Zerubbabel, and of Nehemiah and all Israel. They contributed the daily portions for the musicians and the gatekeepers. Maybe this was kind of confusing when we first read it. We'll explain it. They also set aside the portion for the other Levites, and the Levites set aside their portion for the descendants of Aaron. Here's what's happening. They are God's people. They are following through on a promise they made back in chapter 10. If you missed that week, that's okay. You can look it up for yourself if you like. In chapter 10, specifically verse 35, they are coming through. They're fulfilling a promise they made to God, an oath to God. Well, what's that promise? Is that they would start tithing again. Don't be mad at me because I'm talking about it. This is where we are in the text. It's what they did. They say, you know what, God? And this is beautiful. This is the after party. They said, we're going to give you our time. We're going to give you our talent. And we're going to give you our treasure. It's what they do at the after party. Well, what do you mean? Here's what I mean. Their time, the dedication ceremony, it was elegantly planned. Their talents, the music, the marching, and the like, and then their treasure, their money, back to God. And isn't it interesting that in every stage of our life, God has called us to do those same things? Like all that I am, every talent you've given me, it's yours. And leaders in the room, I want you to think about the power in this, okay? They refinish building the walls, and it would have been so easy for them to sit back and relax. Like, think about it. Like, they worked hard. What couldn't be done for years, they did in 52 days, less than 2 months. So they could have said, you know what, we worked hard. So Nehemiah, go give me one of those colorful drinks with like the umbrella in it, and I'm going to sit back and I'm going to get a suntan on these walls that we built. That's what we want to do, right? Like, I earned it, God. I worked hard. And they could have sat back and said, let's let somebody else take this one. Let's let the next generation rise up and let's just sit, but we worked hard, God. But no, they didn't do that. And here's just a personal opinion, okay? I could totally be wrong on this part right here. It's just Ryan Weems talking, could be wrong. I personally think, this is not in God, I personally think this, that if they would have sat back, that they would have been conquered again. I just personally think that. They'd already been conquered several times, and if they would have built it up, but then just sat back and didn't bring new people in and didn't put different things into plan and make sure that they had money to pay for the upkeep and the repairs, that if they didn't do that, I personally think they would be conquered again. They did not rest on what they had already done. They said, we've got a new work to do. And that's what happened at the after party. They didn't arrive. Well, now we're good. They continue to move forward. And I got to tell you, and you know this to be true, there are so many examples in people, in businesses, in churches that do the opposite of what Nehemiah and God's people did. Well, we arrived. We worked hard, God, and we're just going to sit back and coast. And here's what happens. And if you're taking notes, I hope you'll write this down. Here's what happens, is that you become a monument instead of a movement. I preach this whole message for this part right here. You become a monument, stationary, looks good, but no movement. You become a monument, not a movement. A monument to what happened way back when. And in our context, because we're a church, we become the First National Church of way back then. Best days behind us. And if I could just be honest with you, and I hope that you've gotten to know me enough, those that have been on this journey the last 16 months. So I hope I can just be real transparent. Of course, try to do that every week, but specifically when I talk about our church. If I could be real honest with you, when I first came here 16 months ago for this church revitalization, if you don't know what that is, like God's doing like a new work here and just new birth and just raising us up and taking us to the next level. But in so many conversations 16 months ago, actually being before I got here and when I got here, so many conversations, this is how they would end. So I'm listening. Well, Pastor, this was so great back then. Just share my heart. Pastor, we had this many people back then. Pastor, we saw so many baptisms back then. So many conversations. In fact, there's some of you here in this room, and I love you. There's no ill will toward you. I'm glad you're on this journey, but it's easy to get in that place where we're a monument and not a movement. And our best times in our life are always the ones that happen in our past. We're not excited about the future because we think the past, honestly, if we would just say it, was as good as it ever is going to be. Now, thankfully, 16 months later, this has begun to change a little bit, and we have a bright future, and I've told you how much our church has grown, 125%, and it's just incredible what God's doing, the salvations, but I'm just telling you, like we will not become a monument. Like, we are a movement. It's why we're doing Kingdom Builders. God said, do these things. We prayed and fasted. For I ever spoke a word to you from a platform. I prayed for a long time. I fasted for a long time, saying, like, God, is this you? And God said, yes. The elders confirmed it, had mentors in my life that said, this is the steps to take. And so that's why we're doing Kingdom Builders. That's why we want to launch these different ministries and do some renovation. Like, we want to keep reaching out onto the next thing, onto the next thing. So just hear my heart today. Hear my heart. No longer can we have conversations about how good it used to be. Our conversations must always end with how good we believe it's going to keep getting. That it's good now, but we've got a bright future ahead of us. I know that may offend some, but I'm just telling you that this is God. Just telling you. Like, we've got to move forward. We got to keep going on to what God's called us to do. We are not a monument. We are a movement. And when we accomplish something great for the Lord, God's kingdom, I hear you, Greg, God's kingdom. Like, when we accomplish something big for God, we're going to celebrate God, and then we're going to move on to the next thing. Maybe you're thinking today, because I can feel a little bit of the pushback. I know a lot of you are with us on this, and you're all welcome on this journey. You don't have to be perfect to figure it out, because I'm not perfect. But I know I feel a little bit of pushback here today, and maybe you're wondering, well, when are we going to stop, Pastor? Because I'm tired. Like, when are we going to stop? I'll tell you when. You're not going to like my answer, but it's my answer. When are we going to stop? When one of three things takes place. When we die, or when Jesus comes back, or when everybody's in heaven and nobody's in hell. Babe, I hope my harp's coming through. You're always my check mark here letting me know. You're a little too aggressive on that Sunday. But if that's not your heart, then begin to pray for that to be your heart. And if that doesn't eventually become your heart, this is probably not the place for you. If you want a monument, we're not going to be a monument. It's okay to, like, be learning and growing. I'm not saying, like, if you're not on board now, see, I'm not saying that's not my heart. I hope it's coming through. But, like, we can't stop. We won't stop until we reach people. It's Mark 16:15. Tell everybody, all creation, that Jesus saves. Like, my life was messed up, but Jesus died, and I gave my life to him, and he changed me. Like, it's not about us being comfortable. Like, that's American Christianity. It's not going to be us. We're a movement, not a monument. Celebrate the victories, dedicate the work, and allocate the resources. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, do what I can't do. You're the convictor. You're the comforter. God, I really, truly hope my heart came across. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm fired up, Lord, because you've called us not to be stationary, but to be a movement of God, not of man. God, I have no interest that's building something that's based on a personality or a church name or history. I want to build something. We want to build something that's based on you and you alone, to build your kingdom. And Nehemiah, he shows us so many incredible things here of how you lead. And I know even just in my life as a pastor of this church, God, you're wrecking me to showing me what it looks like, because I got so many areas that I got to keep growing in. And I thank you for your grace. But I just pray you would help us as a church, as a people, the culture we're trying to build, help us to be a church that celebrates you. I'm not talking about hype. I'm not talking about, hey, doing something so others will see it. I'm talking about, we're just so in love with you, Jesus, and we're so excited about what you're doing, that we would not let a sports team get our loudest cheers, that we would not let our kids even, these are all good things, get our loudest, that you would get our loudest cheers. I pray, God, that you help us as a church and a people to dedicate ourselves and our work to you. It don't matter what we do or who we are. Our calling, our mission, our purpose is to glorify you. With every breath, with every action, with every thought. And we're not there yet. We know, all of us, God, we need your help. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you fill in the gaps for us. But help us to dedicate our work to you. That we're really not working for a business or for a paycheck or for a boss or for a school. We're called to dedicate that work to you. It changes the game. And I pray, lastly, God, that you would help us to organize things in our life where we're supporting your work and building your kingdom. And I don't want to twist anybody's arm. That's not what I'm about, Lord. I just pray, Holy Spirit, you'd speak to hearts. All of Israel, they contributed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to pray for some friends today. No one's looking but me. If you're listening online and you're able to, you can close your eyes as well. The reason why we're here, the reason why we do what we do, it's to see heaven full and hell empty. So if you're listening today and you're far from the Lord, you've got a chance right now to surrender your life to him. And honestly, it's my favorite part of every week. It's an honor. Consider it an honor to lead people in a relationship to the Lord. So no one's going to be looking but me. It's just me and you and God right now. But if you're here today and you almost feel this tugging on the inside of you, this drawing. And what that is, that's the Holy Spirit drawing you close to himself. It's almost like somebody physically is reaching in to your heart and pulling you. That's God. He's knocking at your heart today. And if you're far from God, and I say this all the time, but it's so true. Like, no pastor has to tell you. You just know right now. The Holy Spirit's convicting you. Like, I am not where I need to be. And if that's you, it would be the honor of my life. It's what I'm called to do. To bring you into relationship. Not with the church, not with religion, but with Jesus. He's the one that you need. So here's what this is going to look like in a moment. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if that's you. And if that's you, after I see your hand, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. It's a prayer of commitment, a prayer of surrender to Jesus. So no one's looking but me. We're not going to embarrass you, pull you to the front or pull you to another room right where you're seated. If that's you, you're far from God, but you want to commit your life to him, maybe for the first time, or maybe you feel like you just need a fresh commitment. If that's you, could you lift up your hand in this room so I could see it? Thank you so much. Put your hand down. Anybody else? Yes, I see it. You can put your hand down. Thank you so much. No one's looking but me, just honoring this moment. Oh, thank you so much. You can put your hand down. Anybody else would join these brave others? If you're listening online, you participate. God sees you. He knows you. You can get saved in the gym. You can commit your life to Jesus at the coffee shop. Just you and God and your laptop and your phone. Like, God's not limited by space or time. Anybody else? This is why we exist. Lord, thank you for speaking to hearts. Holy Spirit, thank you for convicting us of our sin and drawing us to you. So for the three that raised their hand in this room, any that raised their hand online, on the podcast, and also not just that those groups, but also the Christ followers as support, because you're not going to say this prayer alone, friend. You are not alone. So I'm going to ask each of you in those groups I just mentioned to repeat this prayer after me. It's not a fancy prayer. It's not a magical prayer. It's simply a prayer of surrender to Jesus. Saying, Jesus, I don't have it figured out. I need you. Forgive me of my sin. I believe in you. It's what the Lord tells us to do in Romans 10:9. So those that raise their hand, the Christ followers that support, repeat this out loud. And even better than that, mean it with all your heart. God sees you and God knows you. Say this, dear Jesus, thank you for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. It's not just for others, it's also for me. And so right now, I receive you as my Savior, as my Lord, and as my friend. Jesus, forgive me of every sin, of every mistake. I believe, come on, tell them that again. I believe with all my heart that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. It really happened. And so Jesus, I put my faith, my trust, my life in your hands. Save me. Set me free. Help me to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.